Starting Tech News Weekly. In 3, 2, 1.
Hey, buddy, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarian. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Suncast himself, the Suncast. How you doing, Suncast?
Hey, what's up?
The Suncast. Happy April Fools.
Oh, great. It's that day?
It is that day. And, of course, John Prosser.
Speaking
Mr.
of April
GFQ
Fools.
Himself.
Yeah, I'm here.
Mr.
Hey, John,
GFQ.
How did, or Andrew, you both could answer this. How did you get the name Suncast?
John would have to kill you if he told you, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah,
it was a government experiment.
Well, it'd be worth it to know the answer.
Yes, I was anally probed.
Yeah, it was a government experiment.
Called Suncast.
Project Suncast. They abducted him as a child, and they probed him. And now that he just goes by that name.
We'll see. Now I know, and now I feel much better about myself.
Oh, so guys, thank you. So glad you could join me here today. So glad I could join you. You guys have been running the show, apparently, the last couple months. I just show up every now and then.
Twice.
Yeah, I'm a guest now on this show. I'm not even the regular host. You guys did a phenomenal job last week. I couldn't make it, and I'm glad we are all here today to discuss this week's top news stories in technology. Let's go right into it. Actually, let me ask you guys. Here's a weird question for you.
Okay.
What piece of technology do you use? And you could think about this throughout the show if you want. What piece of technology do you use on a regular basis that is utterly useless?
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. I want you guys to sit on that for a little bit. I want you guys to
think about that.
Sit on it. Because I have been, this year I'm going to make a conscious effort of cutting back on the technology that I use and kind of downsizing.
On all of it or just the useless stuff?
Just the redundancies, you know, like, do I need to have 3 tablets? You know,
probably not.
Do I need to hang on to
3 of them?
Why do I have 3?
Yes,
I have an iPad 2, an iPad Air, and I have a Google tablet. I also have.
You order too much stuff. That's your problem.
I also have. Look at all these phones. I have 3. Look at there. I have all these phones.
You order too much stuff.
I do. I order way too much stuff.
I'm still using my freaking iPhone 5 from 2012.
Well, I mean, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't go that far.
So I'm gonna think about this for a little bit, and we'll touch on this when we're done.
That's a super good question.
Yeah. What piece of technology do you use on a regular basis that is utterly useless and could be replaced by something else? I know what mine is, and it will not probably surprise you guys. It is not the obvious. So let's think about that while we do the show. But here's a great first story. New evidence suggests that early humans first used fire to impress their friends. Suncast, you want to pick this story up?
I mean, that's how Andrew got me on GFQ.
Well, don't we do that now? I mean, how many times have you gone to a bar and someone's doing like some lighter trick? Brian Brushwood does that.
Comes to mind.
Yeah, Brian Brushwood does that. He impresses he makes friends with fire.
Well, fully evolved.
Eating fire and making fire are 2 different things.
This is Kuruman, South Africa. Archaeologists have discovered a $1.5 million Homo erectus habitation site.
Million-year-old, $1 million.
$1.5 million Homo erectus habitation site this week unearthed that the strongest evidence to date that the early humans first used fire to impress their friends. What do you make of this?
This is all based on locations and prevalence of burn marks at the site that they've got. They're basically saying that they like to throw stuff up in the air or, you know, flick their hands through flame and stuff like that. It's kind of cool.
Have you, John, impressed your friends with fire?
Mm-mm. I usually just hurt myself.
You just hurt yourself?
I mean,
it's pretty close.
I really can't handle fire.
Researchers also found fossilized footprints in a circle pattern and numerous charred bones, which likely suggests that early man got a big laugh at accidentally setting himself on fire.
God, you can't talk today.
I can't talk today. No, you know what it is? I've been cleaning the house all day, and I think it's the fumes. I'm dying.
Are you high right now?
You know what? I really
on
do
a scale
think,
of 100%, how high are you right now?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would probably say I am high from bleach fumes. I'm about a 6 right now. every day I'm about a 7, so this is actually an improvement.
Yeah.
This is an improvement on my everyday life.
This is really distracting from that story, though. This is a much more serious story than we're giving it credit for.
You think so? You think this is a way more serious story?
The one time I did try to impress my friends one time with fire, I put gasoline in a Gatorade bottle.
Oh,
and
no.
We had a campfire, and I thought, instead of just throwing the actual bottle into the fire, I thought, well, I'll be cool, and I'll dump it around and make it a circle, and as soon as I dumped it, the fire went up.
And caught
the gasoline
you.
That was pouring out and went up my arm, and yeah, it was great.
You know
fun
what?
Times,
you know, let me tell you something. You are not the only one that has done that. I also have done that, but I didn't do it at a campfire. I actually did it to start a fire in a barbecue. I used a little bit of gasoline, and as I poured the gasoline, the fire shot up and burnt my entire arm. It was horrible.
Good thing you shaved your arms.
And that's why I shave my arms now. Yeah. That's why I have smooth arms. This is a fascinating story. It's interesting that it comes out today.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting the fact that we had this whole social culture so long ago that we ended up, you know, this was before even cooking, that really the first use of fire was to impress friends.
Listen, probably to get girls.
Probably.
That's what I think. Probably to get chicks. Very nice story.
I would
there,
have
John.
Sucked at that.
Very nice story. Well, maybe you're not using fire. I think you should start using fire to impress women. Yeah. I want to talk to you guys about this. And John, you Suncast, John, you will probably know more about this. Linux command line tools are coming to Windows 10. Now, this is a lot of people are excited about this. That the Bash command line shell and support for Ubuntu Linux binary is coming to Windows 10 anniversary update. Why is this a big deal, Suncast?
This is a big deal because it gives developers an easier way or a better way to develop the apps that they want to develop on Windows itself. Because before, you would have to install other basically shells or virtual shells or a virtual machine with Ubuntu running in order to use these libraries that you find easily readily available on Ubuntu to create these applications.
So what kind
now
of applications
can use these
what
same
kind of
libraries that we have access to on Ubuntu to create these applications very easily?
So what kind of developers are we? So what are they developing with this?
Applications, any application,
any application
you can think of.
Real interesting. So
this doesn't mean anything for the end user itself, but if you're creating or developing an application on Windows, this is a godsend because now you no longer have to install something like Cygwin or a virtual machine with Ubuntu to use these libraries that you find on Ubuntu.
Interesting. I'm curious on why, you know, they said this was one of the biggest complaints that they've had, where developers have been requesting support for this feature, for Bash. And
now, well, let me explain this a little bit more clearly to you.
Yeah.
Because on Ubuntu, a lot of times you are able to compile an application from source, what's called source, and then you have all these different libraries or other software packages installed on your Ubuntu system that are used to compile an application from source that better fits the environment that you're running. So you'll be able to compile something like what's normally done is you'll compile something like Apache on Ubuntu from source in order to get exactly what you want from Apache on your system and with your environment.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. So do you think people are going to leave Ubuntu and or Linux and start using this on Windows? Does this make it easier for the developer now?
If it works as intended, yes.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
This is supposed to be native to Windows 10 with the anniversary update this summer that's coming out. But it all depends on the implementation and how well this actually functions. Because we've seen stuff like this before where we've seen, you know, Microsoft wants to make it easy to port Android applications. So they create this little this tool in order to port these applications over. If it's just a really bad port, then developers will stick with running Ubuntu in a virtual machine.
Yeah.
If it works exactly the same way, absolutely, people will dump virtual machine and Ubuntu.
Interesting. That I think it's great. I think it's a really, really good good implementation, and I think this is going to really make the developers happy. You know what is going to make me happy? And I almost pulled the trigger on it today. I almost put $1,000 down for a Tesla. I almost did it. John, why don't you go into the story, read it, and I'm going to pull up some images of the Tesla 3 that was unveiled, starting price $35,000. Very affordable.
So that's not bad. The $35,000 Tesla, and this is, of course, before federal tax credits. The Model 3 sedan made its world debut at an event in Los Angeles. And on stage, Elon Musk announced that the car will have at least 215 miles of range and 0 to 60 in under 60 seconds. And everyone is going to have this supercharging as a standard feature.
Wait, is it under 60 seconds or under 6 seconds?
Cool. Under 0 to 60 in under 6 seconds.
Okay.
So this is the entry model. This is the beginning model. They're going to have different packages as well. Some reports I read that the battery, you're going to get a range of up to 300 miles, and 0 to 60 is going to be under 4 seconds. There's going to be sporting packages. This is the first major affordable shot at a real electric vehicle. Now, They're saying that there's already over 115,000 pre-orders of this car.
Wow.
So a couple things you got to consider. One, that's a lot of cars that they've sold, and the car doesn't even exist yet. You know, that's tremendous. Right. They've made $115 million for a car that doesn't even exist. If you think about it, it's unbelievable. But this is it's not a cheap car. I mean, they've really spent time and effort on this vehicle. It doesn't look cheap. It's just a smaller version of the other Tesla. I'm having the hardest time finding a good image of this thing right now while I'm trying to find it. But 35 grand plus the up to $7,000 in tax credits, depending on where you live, that is tremendous. John, what do you think? John.
I think it's cool. I'm not really like heavily into cars, but I totally get the whole Tesla thing. And this has sort of been like what they were leading up to, what they've been working on, even just the software side of things within their cars. They've been leading up to this. So I'm definitely interested. It's cool. And to see, I think I'm more curious to see how they implement the software in the car.
Yeah. So we've seen them. I mean, they do firmware updates where on the other Tesla models, you know, they're not the $35,000 one. I don't know if this one's going to have the self-driving capability, but via firmware update, they updated the vehicle's performance. They updated for better battery mileage, better miles of range. They update for tweaks and bug fixes via firmware updates over the air. So this is a very different approach to cars. This is a very different approach to how a car company runs. Right. Suncast, do you think this is going to be realistic on a main scale?
Honestly, I couldn't disagree with you more.
Tell me.
Because this, to me, is just one of those status symbol cars. It's like a Lamborghini or any other car that is built per customer. And there's a lot of these cars out there, these super awesome cars that are you know, $35,000 or more, and they're mainly built per customer.
Yeah,
and there's always a waiting list. It's you know, the people that are extremely wealthy will just take one as a status symbol. To me, this is just a status symbol
for
of how wealthy
grand,
you are.
But for $35,000,
yes,
I don't think
are
that's
you
a
kidding me. $35,000 is a ton of freaking money.
Not for a car.
Yes, it is. For a car, to me, that's a lot of money. There's no way I would ever in my lifetime spend $35,000 on a car.
Jesus, I spent too much on cars then. Listen, this is a mid-range vehicle. I mean, if you think about the affordability and you look at the pricing of most cars, this is a entryway into a luxury sedan. And for $35,000,
it's not just like a car that looks cool at this point. You don't have to put gas in it. So
yes, but you do have to charge it.
That's still not gas.
I'm curious, for all the people that have a Tesla, And for all the people that have electric vehicles, I'm really curious as to how much they're really saving on the fact that they're not putting gasoline in the car and they're using electric, right? Like, if you live in California, electric is more expensive in California than it is in, you know, some other state. So
you're saving the world, Andrew.
You are. And that's what they said. They're not really selling this as you're saving so much money by not, you know, by not filling up your tank. I mean, now gas is so cheap. I don't know if that's even remotely true, but it is a environmental change.
Right.
I think it's awesome. I think it's really cool. I think it's very different. Oh, wow. It does have autopilot. It has autopilot mode. So the car does drive itself. That's freaking awesome. Here is a image of it, actually. Where are we? There we are. There it is.
Looks nuts.
I mean, it looks like it's from the future.
It doesn't do anything for me. I mean, it's something I'm never going to own.
I think
if someone right now walked up and was like, "Hey, John, I mean, hey, Suncast, you can have this. You don't have to give me money. Just have it." Then do you like it?
Do I have to pay taxes on it?
Yes.
No.
He has to pay taxes.
Okay, whatever. I mean, cause someone just handed you this
yes,
car.
Yes, John has to. Suncast has to pay taxes on the car.
Because taxes on a 35 grand car is going to be a lot too.
I think we need to think of the big picture here, and this is really going to change the way that the car industries view selling cars. You know, they're selling direct to consumer. This is the stock price. You're not negotiating. You're not doing any of that stuff. You're getting this car that's connected and updatable and upgradable. And it's a very different approach than the traditional vehicle that you buy. You know, you go into a Chevy place or you go into a Ford place, and the way that you buy a car, it's a horrible experience. I think they're trying to change it on multiple levels. One, with the introduction of electric vehicles for, you know, just someone that could possibly afford this. And by the way, you could finance this. You don't buy it up front. You finance it or you lease it. They have lease deals on Teslas. $35,000, you lease it or you finance it. It's not this. You're not giving $35,000 out of your pocket like that. I think this is a more realistic approach for the everyday person, rather than having the like you said, you know, the status quo, you know, the status symbol.
You're just trying to talk yourself into buying this.
I almost did. I almost put $1,000 down on this today. And then I realized that I'm probably never going
to
get it.
You're trying to rationalize actually purchasing this. It's what you're doing. That's what it sounds like to me, because I could not disagree with you more about this.
I think we have a very different approach on cars. I think that's
obvious.
That's what it is. Listen, I don't drive. I have a car. I don't drive it. For me, this would be great. Just put around.
Why do you have a car? Why do you want to buy this? You don't use a car.
Because it's sexy.
And again, you're just looking at this as a status symbol.
It's sexy. That's why, John. Got it? The sexy
I mean,
car.
I'm the one that actually freaking drives.
You do drive.
Out of the three of us here, I'm the one that drives.
You don't drive, John?
No, not much. And this is a long story. You got to listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I've heard some stories as to why you don't drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't drive because I walk everywhere. I live in an area that everything is in walking distance, so I just walk around town. I'll buy a little bicycle.
I can't.
I'll buy a little bicycle.
Not like a little bicycle, like this. I'll just go around town like that. Verizon plans a $20 upgrade fee even if you pay for a new phone. According to a memo leaked to Mac Rumors, the company's planning on introducing a $20 upgrade fee. I don't understand why. Upgrade what? Like upgrading your phone or upgrading your plan?
Your phone.
Your phone.
Whenever, upgrading your device.
Pay for it out with the total cost up front, they're going to charge you $20.
The memo says that the fee is there to cover our increasing support costs associated with customers switching their devices, which sounds incredibly suspect.
Your support cost is just, you know, tied into the fact that people are paying you already. Maybe that's why you should give them support.
This fee.
I think this is in direct relation to phones becoming cheaper, and now people are able to just completely buy their phones off contract from Google directly or from another service. Some phones are like $150. You buy it, and then they take it to Verizon, and Verizon makes no money off of it. So maybe this is why they're like, okay, well, you have to pay us $20 to upgrade the device.
This fee would also come into effect if you bought your hypothetical new iPhone from Apple Direct. Both Sprint and AT&T charge up to $36 and $15 respectively. Wow, they charge $36 to bring if you bought your phone from Apple?
Yeah.
For the customers switching phones, so unfortunately all the carriers are doing this. This is funny. I mean, is this like another word for activation fee? Because activation fees are kind of gone. So now it's an upgrade.
It's the same
fee.
Thing.
The same exact thing.
It's the same exact thing. It's another way for these carriers to pad their bottom line.
Yeah.
Actually make more money off you. So.
Yeah. It's another $20 on that. I'm going to tell you, I recently looked at my cable bill and I was shocked at how much I was spending month for cable. And I called him. I'm like, listen, I don't want any of these channels. I want to cancel. It's like, why? Why would you want to do that? Why do you want to cut the? I'm like, I want the lowest package. Just give me the basic cable. He's like, can I ask why? I'm like, because I don't watch anything. And they literally told me that the difference between the super elite 5,000 channel plan and what they advertise is like $39.99. It's really technically like $20. Because if you cancel stuff, then other things go up.
Yeah,
it's a racket.
It is a racket. It's insane. Like when you look at it, they're like $39.99, you get 100 channels and you know whatever. I'm like, that's what I want. They go, yeah, but it's not really 100 channels. Your cable box rental cost goes up.
Yeah, if you want internet only, it's going to be this price. But if you do internet and TV, well, you know what? We'll just throw TV in for free.
Yeah, or what they do is if I got internet alone, it's $89. If I got it with my cable service, it's $49, and the cable service is also $49. So at the end, it's only $10. For $10, you're getting all this. Look, it is insane how, when I did the math, because I'm going to downgrade, my internet service is going to go up by $20. Then my cable box rental cost is going to go up another $5 per box.
Yeah.
At the end, you're paying the same.
It's like a mob, you know, the Chicago mobsters. Hey, you want protection, it's going to be this much per month.
There's no such thing as a mob. I think it's amazing.
Oh, excuse me, the mafia then.
There's no such thing as the mafia. It's all imaginary. It's all TV, fiction.
Right.
That's what, you don't want to say that in this neighborhood. I think it's ridiculous. And now look, they're doing it with the cell phones. It's insane. I tried to bring my cell phone bill down, and you can't.
Yeah,
everything is unlimited.
No,
because remember, everything is unlimited now, right? There's no plans. It's an unlimited family plan. Texts are unlimited. The only thing you could back up on is the data, and technically, for $10 more a month, I'm getting double the data. So, do I want to cut $10? No, I mean, really, you want the data. I don't need 5,000 unlimited talking minutes. I don't talk on my phone. It that's how they get you. And, they're doing the same now, a $20 fee.
What Crazy. Network do you have?
Verizon.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm on Verizon.
Well, here you go.
John, you want to go to the next story?
Yeah, so...
I was going to go with Prosser.
Oh, okay.
Well, what would be considered the next story? Because...
Google.
So do we want to go with this list that we have then?
Yeah. So we'll go into this story and then we can go into the list.
Okay. So apparently, Google pulled one of their little April Fool's jokes, as they do every year. But one of them this year was called Mic Drop. And it didn't go very well. So I guess it added a secondary send button on the desktop client, which would exchange a funny GIF with all of the Threads participants, but it also muted the chain so that the user couldn't see any follow-up emails. So it's literally like you dropped a mic and left.
Oh, my God.
It was a whole joke. Very funny. The problem was people were accidentally either hitting it or they were just trying it, not really understanding what it did, or they just didn't really understand it. And it literally did that. It would close the thread and that was it.
No, that's it. Nobody can respond. It's over.
And you just kind of screwed yourself. And depending on how important the thread is, it obviously could do some damage. Just that one little joke.
Yeah.
And so everyone started complaining about it. Obviously, they said it triggered a small but significant backlash. And now they decided that it's not worth the joke.
I actually think this is freaking hysterical.
Oh no, it is funny.
It's like a real prank. It's not like a, like, oh, Google's coming up with a UFO, you know? It's not like one of those things.
Yeah.
This is an actual prank. Like, this is a... this is like a go F yourself, you're screwed. It's a practical joke. Can you imagine that you have, like, a thread, it's like an important business thread, and you by mistake click on this thing, or you're like, I don't know what this does, let me go through it, and now it just shut down this, like, ridiculous chain of emails?
That's what they're saying. They're saying that one of the persons that complained in the Gmail help forum said that they got fired as a result of this because they weren't getting follow-up emails with important changes to
oh
the
my
work
God.
That they needed to do.
That and all as a result, happened in one fired. Day?
They got fired in one day.
What I a, guess. I
what
don't,
a horrible
I don't
boss.
Buy that, but...
What a horrible boss. I think yeah. Google did them a favor.
I think this is hilarious. I think this is the best prank that somebody's pulled in the last 5 years.
So, they at this point they removed that feature.
Oh, I would have freaking left that thing. That's hilarious. That's your own fault for not understanding
the mic
everything.
Drop. The mic drop. Brilliant. Do you have so Prosser? Now you have a list of the pranks from this year.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to go through some of them?
From VentureBeat.
Yeah.
There was apparently a Google Japanese input physical flick version.
Let's see what this is. Let's play the video.
Physical keyboard that you flick. You flick it.
Let's see.
And there's an actual video that they put out for this in Japanese.
Oh, so...
It's like a product announcement.
And they show... Are you playing right now? Yeah, here it is. So it's pretty much telling you...
It's great for audio listeners.
Yeah, it's great for the audio listeners.
Japanese.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so what else did they do?
You could search your photos using emoji.
Okay.
Emoji inbox smart reply.
Okay.
Okay, that's kind of cool. And then, of course, the mic drop.
The mic drop,
Google Cardboard Plastic.
That's brilliant.
Oh, God. Apps in Space.
Apps in Space. Google Play lets
developers
design.
Now design, test, and distribute their apps and games in space.
That's great.
1 billion times faster than gigabit.
That's great. And you see, look, there's a guy, and I guess he's going to transport himself to a beach.
That's great. My God. YouTube Snoopavision.
Okay, we got to play
this. I love
this.
That one.
We got to play
a
this
great
one.
Feature to all its videos, Snoopavision.
Here at YouTube. Today we're excited to announce a feature that people have been asking about since we launched. The ability to watch every video in 360 with Snoop Dogg.
Starting today, just click a button on any YouTube video and immediately experience it in Snoopavision.
So what's so awesome about this new product is that finally you can combine three...
You know what? If I continue playing, they're probably going to flag me.
Probably.
Yeah.
I hope they do.
Yeah. So, Snoopavision.
Real books.
Okay.
Imagine you had one device for every ebook you own.
Oh, wow.
Style detection for Google Cloud Vision API. Let's see if someone... If what someone is wearing works or doesn't, using millions of hours of deep learning, okay? Google Tag Manager for real-world tags now supports the real world. This feature automatically categorizes and manages your real-world tags.
Okay.
I'm assuming... Are we talking like... Okay. I wish you could actually see this for the audio listeners. There's like a little screenshot of it. Parachutes by Google Express. Sure, drones are probably the future of delivery, but they're not ready yet.
Parachutes.
You know what technology is ready? Parachutes.
That's great. The self-driving bicycles.
Right.
That's great.
Google search for your socks.
Okay.
Chromebook. That looks awesome.
I would like a Chromebook. Who wouldn't? Forget about the Gold Max. You want the Chromebook.
That'd be awesome.
And that's it. I thought it was cute. Cute stuff. Which one do you... I like the Chromebook.
That's Snoopavision was pretty funny.
Snoopavision is really funny. I like that one. Our next story, Suncast, go into this, because I spoke about this yesterday.
Yeah, so a New Jersey bill would jail you for texting while walking.
You know what? I agree with that.
So,
yeah, people
much
are
like jaywalking, a New Jersey Assemblywoman Pamela Lampitt recently introduced a bill that would ban any hands-on use of electronic communication devices while walking on the state's public pathways. Get caught and you'd face the same penalties as jaywalking, which could include up to a $50 fine and 15 days in jail.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think that's a little silly. But I'm going to tell you, we do have a major, major problem here in New York where people are just walking zombies and they're literally so attached to their phone that they have no idea what they're doing. I was right. The other day, I was driving and I was making a turn. It was my right of way. And this woman is running while looking at her phone. So I'm like, oh, she's not even by the walk, by the crosswalk now, right? Like, she's running on the sidewalk like this. Okay. She's running like that. So
yeah,
I'm turning.
Get to that.
So I'm going to turn like this and I see her coming. I'm like, you know what? I don't think this lady's going to stop. And she goes right through it running. And all I right. go, if I hadn't seen her with the corner of my eye that she was running, looking at her cell phone, I would have killed her.
Right.
It would have been it. Lunatic. Hate people.
They have, I don't know if they still have them, but I remember they had apps that, they were SMS apps, so you could text, but the background of the texting app would be transparent and it would turn on your camera. So you could like see through your phone while you were texting.
Yeah.
So you could see stuff. Still completely ridiculous that you even have to do that.
Yeah. I can't believe it. You know, it is interesting though. You see society has really changed with the texting thing. I make a conscious effort now not to go out and text. It's become a pet peeve of mine. And I noticed that I would do it constantly. Where I would go out, let's say I'm sitting at a bar or I'm at dinner or something, or I'm hanging out with my friend and I'm constantly looking at my phone. And yeah. I'm not really looking at anything, really. I mean, how many times in 5 minutes do you need to check messages?
Right.
Uh-oh.
What are we uh-oh-ing?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. My neighbors are fighting.
What do you mean they're fighting?
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about?
God.
They don't have guns, do they?
What is
Stick
this?
Stick your mic We're out there.
His brother. He's going to kill his brother. Oh, my God. He's going to kill his brother.
What?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What's even happening right now? I wish we could see.
Oh, my God. Should I go out? Oh, my
what
God.
What are you going to do?
He's going to kill his brother.
Say, hey, I'm doing a podcast. Shut up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. This is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. This is going to be really bad. I got to leave the house. I have to drive off, and now all the cops are going to come. Oh, my God. This is awesome. This is awesome.
All right. You want to finish the show?
Yeah. Let's end it.
Hand the wrestling belt to the winner.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
So I want to say one thing about this law, and to me, I know you're really upset about people, you know, texting and walking, but to me, this is Darwinism. It's natural selection. if they get killed walking in front of a car because they're texting, that's their own damn fault. And, you know, now we've got another person that we don't have to worry about, some idiot.
Like,
that's one less idiot to worry about.
People are literally driving 2-ton weapons on wheels, and you're just walking around on your phone.
You deserve to. All right, I'm sorry, that's bad to say, but you are an idiot.
I agree. It's natural selection at its finest.
It's Jesus.
We don't need a bell for this.
No,
it's Darwinism taking its selection.
It is. This is. Well, Darwinism, natural selection is about to happen right now outside. I'm telling you that.
It's happening outside.
Someone's going to be killed.
So, Andrew.
Yeah.
What is the one piece of technology that is useless to you, but you still use it?
You know, I don't. Two things. One, it's not a technology, but a wallet. I've eliminated a wallet. I no longer carry a wallet.
Yeah, I don't carry mine either.
Yeah. Two, I do not need a toaster.
What are you talking about?
I don't need a toaster. I have a toaster oven. Why do I need a toaster? It's a piece of technology I find useless.
Do you still use it?
No, I use a toaster oven. I don't use the toaster.
So you just have a toaster, but you don't ever use it.
I don't use it. No, I'm taking it. I'm throwing it outside.
This is something that I've actually recently taken care of.
Okay.
And it's not something I'm still continually doing, but I love coffee. I have a huge thing for coffee, and I've spent so much money on coffee machines, drip machines, French presses, Keurigs, just a shit ton of money on machines that I've now learned don't matter. The best cup of coffee that you can ever get, and I'm not making this up, is from something called an AeroPress. It's like $20 on Amazon.
Yes, they're awesome. Yeah.
And it's literally two tubes. One has a suction cup in the end. One is just another tube that you can put a filter on. Comes with filters. You grind the coffee. You scoop it in. You put the tube inside the tube. And you plunge it down. And literally there's no wait time. You don't wait for it to steep or anything. It literally just pushes coffee out. But because you're doing it and the air pressure is pushing it through and you're using a paper filter, it also removes all the like the nasty oils from the coffee that you get that like you hate the taste of.
Yeah.
And it is so freaking good. Best cup of coffee ever. And that's after I've spent a ridiculous amount of money on trying to make good coffee from expensive machines.
I have a Keurig and I realize how much of a waste of money it is.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, it's convenient, but you are wasting so much money.
Yeah.
I'm just peeking out now to see what the hell's going on. This is insane.
Just take us out there.
Yeah, I know, because I gotta go bring this poor guy his painting stick before the cops come.
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to remind you to bring, what is it?
Marlin. Marlin is painting
stick. Painting stick.
Yeah, yeah. All right, guys. Sunkast, what is? Think about you. Think about what you think is useless technology that you use every day. You think about it? Is there anything useless in your life?
I'm sitting here, I'm looking around, I'm like, I've got nothing here that's useless.
You're a lot better than me. You're a lot better than me. All right, guys, let's wrap it up for this week. Happy April Fools. The thing that's happening outside is not an April Fools prank, I'll tell you that. Now the one-legged man is walking. Oh, God.
What?
You don't even know. You don't even know where the hell I live at this point. I don't even know. You know what's the most amazing part? There's an open house happening across the street. And these people just like ran off like it was like a typhoon was about to hit.
I wouldn't live next to you either, so.
Which is awesome. This is awesome. All right. I got to go. Cops are here. Now I got to go outside and figure out what the hell is happening and get my car out. Guys. See you all next week. Take care.